Turn to Isaiah 42, chapter 42. We've been studying there some. Read a few verses together in the King James. Start reading at verse 9 and read through verse 13 of Isaiah chapter 42. Continuing where we left off last Sunday morning. And here we go. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. We'll stop there for now. Back to verse 8. Just catching up one idea that we concluded with. Neither my praise to graven images. The last part of verse 8. We have to be careful, saints, don't we, that we don't create God in our image. Did you ever try to do that? Make a graven image and worship it. In other words, this is the way God has got to be. And therefore, that's the way he's going to be. And I guess it comes from our attitude as Americans that if we don't like our leaders, we cut them down to size. But you can't do that with God. And so, as someone was saying to Doug and DeWetta some months back, I can't believe that God would cause me to suffer, allow me to suffer. If I believe that, I wouldn't serve him. But you see, that's trying to make God in your image. We have to take God as he is. And our prayer is not that God will go our way, but that we will come to know the truth. All that is so important, because we get fixations on what we expect of God and what religion should be and what we want to do. But that's Babylon, saints. And we need to find out in our culture and in our day, in March of 1980, we need to find out the frame of God's thinking. We need to know how God views things. Not try to persuade him. Hard sometimes to figure, well, how can I be really vigorous in my prayer if all I'm seeking is God's will? How can I really express my will and yet accept God's will? And this is a practical problem that people face in their prayers. Supposing I'm praying against God's will, what then? Well, the solution to that is not difficult. God does want us to come to him and tell him what we want. He does do that. And if we don't, many times we buy things that we need never have. Sickness, troubles, and all kinds of things, because we do not bring everything to God in prayer. And we should. But you know, we are not to force our will on God. In other words, it says, with everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But we are not to force our will on God. Sometimes God has a better way. And sometimes if we don't get too specific with God, we just say, Lord, you know my heart, and you know what I want, and this is the direction I'm going, we can trust that God we'll fill in the line. Praise the Lord. Leave a little room for God to move around in. We really don't have to force God to do anything. Do you know that? He is more anxious to deliver and to heal and to save than we are to have Him do it. That's right. He is more anxious to bring you into good things and wonderful things than you are to be brought into them. And so we don't go to sleep on the job. We don't say, well, que sera, sera, you know. Whatever will be, will be. We don't get laissez-faire about it. We keep red hot in prayer. We let our wants and wishes be made known unto God. But at the same time, when we come to God, we don't come with a, I'm going to bend you to my will attitude. See? We come to God with worship, as befits a mighty monarch. And you know how people approach a great king, they fall on their face. And then he reaches out his scepter, you know, what would you want? We don't come up and say, hey, you know, you're going to go my way. I got you by the word. No, no, that's pretty soon then we've got what we've got is Babylon going. We know all the details, and pretty soon God says, well, if you want to save the world yourself, go ahead. But it's a real job. And then pretty soon we're all worn out, mad at people because we can't get them to go the way we want them to go. Because see, when you start making God in your image, you also start trying to make people in your image. So the whole world will be in your image. What you deem to be true and right and honorable and what God ought to do. But if we don't do that, if we come to God with an attitude of worship, recognizing that we wouldn't even know Jesus if it wasn't for God doing it in the first place. Praise the Lord. And we wouldn't even have these promises of healing and deliverance unless God had given them to us. So the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. It says, let your request be made known unto God. He shall give thee the desires of your heart. You know, many times God gives you things you didn't even ask for, because he saw that you were going to need them down the road. And you say, oh, what am I getting this for? Then you find out later, didn't you? So you don't have to do the whole thing yourself. The best prayer is like Jesus said, how should we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, be holy. You know, your name is holy and lifted up. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth. That's the best prayer. And give me my daily food. And forgive me my sins as I forgive others. And keep me from the devil, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. That's how the Lord taught us to pray. Praise the Lord. So yes, we want faith. And yes, we want vigor. But we want to keep in mind that God is greater than we are. And many times he sees things that we don't. And there's a kind of a dance, saints. There's a kind of a dance. Prayer is a dance in which we dance with the Lord. And he does the leading, not us. He does the leading. And as we dance that dance, things work, because the kingdom of God is in harmony, in order, peace, and righteousness, and joy. And a lot of things, what our prayer mostly does is keep us in contact with God so that we can find out his will. You know that? So the Lord said, I will not give my glory to another. We are seeking God's glory. And the greatest gift that we can ever have from God is his own glory. Like Jesus said, glorify thou me with yourself. And when we become part of God, and not resign, there's no resignation here, it's a labor to enter into the rest of God. When we labor to enter into the flowings of the Godhead, into the great heavenly harmony that is bringing all things into being, when we get into that and get out of the strife of our own confusion and self-will and sin and get into the peace and the rest of God, then we receive not gifts for our own using, but the glory of God for his using. And whatever gifts we receive are so that we may have tools to labor in the Lord's vineyard, not in our own. Praise the Lord. God wants to make us in his image. We are not to try to make God in our image. And that's why he said, I will not give my glory to something that you have carved into shape. I will not do it. My glory stays in the family. And if you want my glory, then get in the family, because the children have their bread. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Now you see, you don't have to hold up the creation on your back. God does that with joy. All you've got to do is get into His will for your life and live a little. Praise God. Verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass. God said in Isaiah 53 that Christ would come and give Himself an offering for sin. And it happened. God said that the nations that sin would be brought down. Nations that were great in the days of the prophets, such as Tyre, Sidon, Phoenicia, the great cities of Asia Minor, Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, Greece, Rome. God said they would fall. They fell. The former things are come to pass. Nobody changes God's purposes that way. It's always good to repent. We can get a furtherance of our mercy. But when God begins to speak and move and plan, things happen. The rooster crows. The earth moves. Nations rise and fall. Nations that are so sure that they're going to last forever are today just dust. Just dust. One day America will be dust. All the nations of today will be dust. But the Word of God will be as alive as it is right now. Praise God. That's the one sure thing we have. The former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. God is always moving. He has not left the world up to man. He has not left the world up to the church. God is moving. God has a plan. He is not subject to what we see on television. It is not subject to Iran or subject to Russia or subject to the United States. These things have always been things. Always wars and rumors of wars. Nations have been proud. The Assyrians were a proud people with their archers. The Greeks, the Spartans were mighty in war. The Roman legions were invincible in their day. They were proud. They were sure that that was it. This was the world. But they are gone. What we see today is we see great plans for the Olympics, and this for Iran, this for Russia. Get a historical view of it. It's only as so much grass that comes up. Today is brilliant and flourishing and meaningful and significant, in quotes. But it is not significant, and it is not meaningful. And the person that studies history finds that true. It's only a temporary means that God uses while His purpose goes on eternally, moving like clockwork in its course. The stars in the heavens, everything, nature, mankind, is moving to bring forth the brothers of Jesus Christ, the bride of the Lamb. So you are in the thing that is significant. Don't lose sight, as so many Christians have today, carried away by their culture, supposing that this is where reality is. No, reality is only and has always been in God and in His anointed. And if you want your mark in history and you want your mark in eternity, then spend your life for that which is truly worthy, which is the plan of God in Jesus Christ. For everyone that does is touched with immortality, and those that do not perish like the grass of the field. Now he says, the new things. How can God tell us new things before they spring forth? How can this be? We who understand, who have studied in our schools physics and the basic concepts of time and light, you cannot predict the future because it hasn't happened yet. We are bound in time. There's no way that you can tell the future unless you're in control of every atom, every personality, or unless it's already happened. See? You try to predict the future. Robert Burns said, the best laid plans of mice and men ganged aff a glade. They go astray. Any of your best laid plans ever go astray?
One or two.
God's plans do not go astray. How can that be? According to all the laws of science that we know, how can God tell what will be true tomorrow? Oh, sure, we can say the sun will probably come up. It'll probably be light and then dark later. But can you know what will happen in Europe? Can you know what will happen to yourself? But God knows. How does he know? Either he's in control of everything, or else it's already happened and he can see it. How do the prophets speak of the future? Think about that. And yet they do consistently. Now, God is not bound by time. God has described the New Jerusalem and the millennium very neatly, and we have it in our Bible. These people haven't been born yet. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now, who is God addressing in Isaiah 42? He is addressing his anointed. He is addressing Israel. He is addressing, first of all, Jesus Christ, and then those who belong to Jesus Christ, the members of the body of Christ. This is who I tell you of them. And if you are in Christ, then God tells you of the future. Now we find in Amos 3:7. You are not in darkness, saints. You have within you the ability, as God leads, to know. Every Christian does. Amos 3:7. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. You say, oh, I'm not a prophet. Oh, is that right? Are you a Christian? In Revelation 19. I'm going to find it here. All right. Revelation 19, 10. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19, 10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Over in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Speaking of the coming of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 5, 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day, that is the day of Christ, should overtake you as a thief. Saints, the day of the Lord is not going to overtake the members of the body of Christ as a thief. It simply is not going to do that. We are going to know when it's going to come. I don't say the Lord will say next November 27th. But you will know, and there will be the Holy Spirit will testify of the general idea. You will not be walking blindly, and all of a sudden, whack, and you're gone. I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible says. Who will it overtake as a thief? Those who are walking in darkness, the world, and believers who are not serving the Lord. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 6, what I want. Let us watch and be sober. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, and your prayer life is like a shopping list, where you write down 8 or 10 things that you're going to buy at the store, bless this relative, that relative, give me a new car, pay my bills, make me an evangelist or whatever. And that is your prayer list. And you go into your prayer closet, much against your better judgment, because you've got many things to do. And you're hopping inside because you think, oh boy, 10 minutes, what I could do with that 10 minutes. And you go into your prayer closet and you say, let's see, what's that first thing? Lord, pay my bills. What was the second? Bless Aunt Mamie. What was the third thing? You don't have any fun in your prayer life. When you go into your prayer life, expect dynamite. Yeah, that's right. Expect all kinds of things. And expect God to talk to you. Expect to do some talking, but you know, it's rude if you do all the talking. You know that? It's just rude. And if you're a Christian, God has given you the spirit of prophecy. Now, you may never have prophesied, but that's your fault, not God. You have never got still long enough in God to know what was going on. Get quiet before God and make a practice. This, it may not happen the first time you go into your closet. You may go in there for half an hour, and all that happened was you fell asleep after 5 minutes, and you woke up and got out, and you felt better for having rested, or felt worse for being suffocated. But whatever happened, that takes a little stay with it. You know, you don't develop warriors overnight. I mean, you don't just go out and pick up your sword and start slashing around and become Hercules, you know. It takes a little practice, a little know-how. But after you say, I'm going to set aside a half hour every day and I'm going to go in, I'm going to spend 15 minutes talking and 15 minutes listening, and pretty soon, one of these days, you get a surprise. In fact, it might blow you right out of the closet. The Lord might come by. See? That's what the prophets mean when they say they set themselves on the watchtower. You've got to set yourself on the watchtower. You've got to get up on your mountain of prayer and give some time to God. Well, if nothing happens, I think you'll find if you pray for something and spend time before God, it may be that nothing will happen. You'll go in there and you'll come out and say nothing happened. But all of a sudden, without you quite realizing it, little things begin to happen in your life. So, oh yeah, I prayed about that, didn't I? Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. I did pray about that, didn't I? It happens that way. But sometimes the Lord will meet you. And He will show you things to come. You! Not somebody that's been saved 50 years. You! In spite of your age, young or old. God will show you things to come. And as you learn to walk in prayer and to work into the spirit of prayer, because every Christian has this spirit of prophecy. That's the spirit of Jesus. That spirit is on you, and that spirit knows what's coming to pass in the world. And you will become somebody who knows what you're doing. You will not be staggering around blindly. You will know the mind of the Lord. And God will speak to you, and He will reveal to you His will for you. And you will begin to get the spirit that all of God's people have for the future. God's people are not in blindness. They have a feeling for the world, a feeling for what is past, a feeling for what is present, a feeling for what is future. They are not in darkness. They can tell. You live in the flesh all the time, you'll be persuaded by the television and the newspapers that this is reality. It is not reality. You know that. Every one of us in this room has studied enough of the nature of the atom and the molecule to know that the visible world is merely a symptom of energy. That's all it is. It's an energy transformation. It passes from one stage to another and someday is gone, dissipated. That's all you are. That's all I am. There's nothing eternal there. The eternal is the spiritual. That's where the reality is. We look at the world and it seems like it's going a certain way. But you get into your prayer closet and God shows you that is not the way it is going at all. That is not what is true. This is what is true. And pretty soon you become a person of truth. And you say things differently than other people. You remember the prophets in the Old Testament? Israel would be saying one thing, the prophets would come and say another. Because they were seeing God. And you can too. You can be among the prophets of the Lord if you will spend time, take the time you would have spent watching the news, and spend it watching God. That way you won't lose any time of your day. You spend 15 minutes watching the news, spend 15 minutes watching God. And you'll know more about the news than you'll ever find from the television. Because all you get is a liberal assessment of what they think might possibly be true, slanted with what they want to be true. That is not true. It is a lie. Amen? What you get for God will not be anybody's assessment of anything. It will be the truth of the Holy Ghost, and you'll know what's really happening in the world today. You won't get all shook up. You'll say, praise the Lord, I see what you're doing and the necessity for it, and I praise your holy name. Amen? It's true, saints. All the members of the body of Christ have that prophetic spirit within them, but it must be nurtured. You can't spend your time in the flesh and develop your spiritual insight. It will not work. In other countries, Christians in India and other Eastern countries do not have that particular problem that we do, because they are more used to a meditative religion. And that aspect of the Christian religion they are strong in, because they already have it as part of their culture. We do not. We're like this. See, we're materialistic people. And where we tend to fall short, we have our strengths that those people do not have. But the weakness that we have is we are too much on the go. And consequently, we lose the quality of meditation that was true of the apostles and of Christ and of the prophets, because we're so busy. So we tend to be dwarfed spiritually in that realm. All right. We're in Isaiah 42. Verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, why are there so many new choruses coming into the body of Christ? There must be 1,000 that are present today that were not present 20 years ago. Where are they coming from? Do you know? Where are all these new choruses coming? Like we sang this morning, the work of restoration. Where are they coming from? Where are all these coming from? Huh? They're coming from the spirit of prophecy. See, the spirit of prophecy is moving in the church today, and that's where these are coming from. They're born of prophecy. There never was a day like this day. This is the day. This is the day. It is the time to take the kingdom. This is the Holy Spirit speaking in English to us and telling us of things to come. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. Now, this concept of praising God from the end of the earth is all through the prophets and is all through the book of Psalms in particular. It is not this well known to us. It is not part of our history. It is not part of our concept of what Christianity is all about. But it is part of the Bible concept of Christianity. And I want you to look at it. Make sure you see it, because it's different from what we usually see or think. But it is the Bible plan. It is the way God is going to go. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. Now, what we have had in the last 2,000 years of church history has been maybe 5%, maybe less, 3%. A great revival would sweep a city or a nation or a country, a part of the world, and maybe 5% or 3% of the people would become Christian in most instances. I think if there was a revival in San Diego County and 5% of San Diego County became Christian, we would figure that something was really being done. There's a lot of people in this county, saying. And we're used to that. We're used to being a minority. And we've been a minority for so long. And the word that has come to us has been a word to an elect, a word to a minority. Throughout the history of the Christian church, it seems to us like many people are Christians. Relatively speaking, very few people are Christians, saints. Even today, relatively speaking, very, very few people. There's a lot of nominal Christians in the United States and a lot of forms of Christianity, greater or lesser in strength. But this is not what God has in mind for the world. This is not what God has in mind for the world, is that 5 or 10% would be saved and 90% of mankind would be destroyed. That is not at all what God has in mind for the world. We have come to that phase of thinking because in spite of our energy and our prayers, the results are so minimal. You get even a big revival and then, well, look at the revival that was in Wales. A revival like the kingdom of God on earth in the 1890s. The mines stopped, the dance hall stopped, the saloon stopped, men couldn't work. The daily press was given over to the revival because it was just like the kingdom of God on earth in Wales a few years ago. God just sovereignly reached down and just showed what could happen if his spirit touched the earth. But where is Wales today? Look at the revivals that have been through in the British Empire. Where is the British Empire today? It's a center of witchcraft and backsliding. So in America, the Cane Ridge, the other revival. But look at the impact, and someone, I think it was George Otis, said, the one difference of the charismatic revival that was true of all preceding revivals in America, listen, because this is a shocker, said that this is the first revival that is not moving our nation politically. It doesn't have enough strength to give moral fiber to the country. All other revivals in America have caused wars. Billy Sunday, just from that one man's preaching, the Prohibition Amendment to the Constitution was voted. Just from his preaching about booze. The 18th Amendment to the Constitution, I believe it was. The Prohibition Amendment for one man. The Civil War was brought into being, the loosing of the slaves, from one woman's vision. Harriet Beecher Stowe, whose father and whose husband were ministers, and God gave her Uncle Tom's Cabin in a vision. And her brother, Henry Ward Beecher, was preaching and buying slaves and so on to set them free. That one family, and we had our only civil war. But the charismatic revival, in spite of all the people that are involved, doesn't have enough of God to change our laws of our nation. They are going downhill, and you know it and I know it. And we can hide our head in the sand if we want to, but this is an unprecedented situation in revival in the modern times. They have always shaped the nation in England and America, but we are in a different day. They don't hold. And why? Does God know? Is the world going to hell? Is it true that 90% of the world will be destroyed and a handful of people will be raptured up to go to heaven to have a convention and God will just let the blood of 90% of 5 billion people drench the earth in slaughter? If this God, this is what we believe, when we say the rapture is around the corner, this is what we believe. That 90% of 5 billion people are going to be burned to a cinder while we're up playing hearts. The reason for that thinking is because after 2,000 years of labor, we have seen but a handful who have stood. Oh, sometimes there was an appreciable number of people say, but they can't hold it. All right, what does God have in mind? God's plan for the last 2,000 years was to build the church. The revival of God is yet ahead, according to the Bible. God's revival hasn't come yet. What he's done to this point is to build up a hearty group of people through whom he could appear, and it's called the body of Christ. His plan for saving the world hasn't even started yet in that sense. I thought you might like to know that. I thought you might like to know that it's not going to be 90% of the people that are going to be slain, or 80%, or 70%, or 20%. But my estimation would be probably around 2%. You can say yes, no, or maybe, but I'm talking about the Bible, not our tradition or our faith. The time of the coming of the Lord is the time of God's revival. People are going to see the members of the body of Christ and be saved. That's what it says in John 17. When they are one, then the world will believe. Brother, sister, not a revival in your town or mine. The world will believe. John 17:21. The world will believe. Thank God. The only people that will be destroyed are those who refuse to have anything to do with God. And from the Bible, there will be enough of them that the blood will run to the horse's bridle for 300 miles. But that's not 5 billion people, brother, sister. God has in mind to save most of them. Do you know in 1 John it says that Christ was offered not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world? The sins of the whole world! You know the Bible says that God is willing that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm not preaching that everybody's going to be saved. Unfortunately, they are not. Because there will be some who just insist that they will not receive life or Christ or anything else, and those people will be lost. But the rest of mankind is going to be saved. Didn't we sing it this morning? Do you hear what the Spirit's saying? He's just begun. He's just begun. Didn't God say that the glory of God would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea? We have teaspoons of that kind of thing. Teaspoons when God is going to give us glory. The revival that God speaks about in the Bible hasn't even started yet. All that we have had for 2,000 years is a preparation of a hardy group of people who can stand and rule with Jesus. So the world is going to get saved. Praise the Lord. I never saw people that cared less that the world was going to get saved. Now look at it. I said that, and we're about through here, but I just said that to orient you to Isaiah chapters 42 and 3, and the third chapter of Joel, and the second chapter of Joel, and Habakkuk 3, and all the rest of the parts of the Bible where God talks about the end time revival. Otherwise you won't see it. You say, oh yeah. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise. From where? From the end of the earth. You're going to live to see the day when every nation under heaven praises God. Think of it. A world without sin. A world without sin. We look for a new world wherein dwells righteousness. You say, is it possible? Won't God have to kill everybody on the earth and it'll just be the church? No. What the church is being created is kings and priests to rule the people that God is going to save. Revelation 21 speaks of the saved nations of the earth. God is going to save the peoples of the world. Think of it. Think of it, Manny. A world with no sin, no rebellion. Anywhere you go, downtown, in the country, all you're going to hear is praise unto God. Think of it. You want to live in a world like that? Truly? Truly you want to live in a world where there's no sin? Not even yours? You either go down to the sea. Listen, if you could have sailors praise the Lord, anybody would praise the Lord. Is that right? Where's Neil? All right. And all that is there in the islands of the sea, Polynesia, going to worship God. Every one of them. That's what the Word says. The inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The wilderness. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit. I can't go into this, but Kedar is the second son of Ishmael. All these Arabs in the Middle East, that's Kedar. All the descendants of Ishmael. All the Mohammedans. Africa is full of Mohammedans. That's Kedar. Mohammed, the original Mohammed, traces his lineage back to Kedar. Back to Ishmael. These people are going to praise God. So don't curse the Arabs. You know, there's a sweet little Arab people that are Christian. You go watching the world, become a part of the world, and you're inconvenienced because of what you're paying for gas. You know what you end up doing? Cursing the Arabs. But God blesses the Arabs. That's the problem with walking in the flesh. God loves the Arab things. God loves the Arabs that are charging you $1.30 for gas. God loves them. The Bible says God is going to save them. The praise to God is going to come up from Arabia. It's in many places in the Bible. God is going to cause Kedar to worship Him. You'll find it back in 3. God came from Teman. That's the south there. The mountain country. They're going to praise God. The Arabs are going to praise God. All of Arabia is going to praise God. God said, Egypt is my people. The Egyptians are going to praise God. All these people that we hate because they inconvenience us are loved of God. And when you get alone in your prayer closet, God says, don't curse the Arabs. The things that are coming on you are because of your sin, not because of the Arabs. God's going to save them. Let the inhabitants of the rock shout. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. That's in Arabia. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. When? 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 The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. When? Is God finished yet, saints? No, according to this passage and numerous others, they point clearly to the fact that the coming of Jesus Christ will be God in the saints and in Christ and with the saints and with Christ to punish the wicked, but to save the nations of the earth. And you read the book of Psalms over this next month, and just underline every place it says that the nations of the earth are going to clap their hands. They're going to praise God. They're going to sing unto the Lord. All the nations of the earth are going to praise the Lord. The coming of Jesus Christ the second time to gather us up in the resurrection and the ascension will be the time of the greatest revival of salvation that the world has ever seen at the coming of the Lord. Where do you get that? John 17, 21 through 23. The coming of the Lord is life and revival, not the bloodletting of 90% of the world's population. Praise the Lord. Jesus, how we love you today, Lord. We know that the preparation is on, Lord. The preparation for your bride, the preparation for the church to come into union with you. And the result of the union, the liberation of the creation from the bondage of the wicked enemy that shall be destroyed by Christ in the church. Hallelujah, Lord. Hasten the day when Satan shall be crushed under the feet of the church. Hallelujah. And that the nations of the earth will be released and be able to praise and glorify thy holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful is the Lord. Let's stand and give glory to God. Praise God's name. Hallelujah. We just got a few billion people saved this morning. That's something to praise God about. Hallelujah. We give praise and glory. Praise and glory unto the Lord God of heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, Father, we give praise unto Thee. Hallelujah, mighty God, we give praise unto Thee, O Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We believe in you this morning. We believe in you this morning. We believe in you this morning. Let your word come to pass, God, every part of it. Hallelujah. 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 For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free.
day he's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful his love to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be thy holy name. Blessed be thy holy name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your precious name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be thy name. Blessed be thy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thou art worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe, saints, that the Lord is speaking about the harvest field this morning. Oh, hallelujah, there are so many, there are so many. And we are receiving the glory of the Lord, saints. Because in the days to come, God is going to move us out into the harvest. There is this, saith the Lord, the fire of the Lord will come to be blessing and to be destruction. Upon those who turn to the Lord, it shall be blessing and healing. And upon those who resist the Lord, it shall be judgment upon them. Thou art to take heed unto all the things that the Lord thy God hath taught thee. Thou art to lay it up in store as Joseph of old. Thou art to hide it as treasure within thine heart. Thou art not to let anything deter thee from thy course. But thou shalt give thyself wholly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not look unto the world. Thou shalt not look unto the things of the world. For yea, Antichrist has already come, and his spirit is already among you, but you shall listen to the word of truth, and the truth shall be that which sets you apart unto the word of the Lord. I have many in the face of the world today who are crying unto me for truth, and I am preparing you to go forth and spread the truth of the word of God. You are my prophets, saith the Lord. You are my servants, my ministers, my messengers, that I have called out from your world, that you might walk before the Lord thy God, that you might go unto a land which thou shalt tread in, and which shall be unto thee for an inheritance. Be not thou slack before the Lord thy God, but thou shalt surely come out, thou and thy family, and thou shalt separate thyself unto the Lord God. And he shall cover thee under his feathers, and thou shalt be unto him a peculiar people. Thou shalt be unto him a holy nation. And thou shalt go from the east to the west, and from the north to the south, in every place and every town and village and country and city that I shall send thee, saith the Lord. And thou shalt bear witness of the coming of the kingdom of the Lord. Thy time is short, saith the Lord, and I have spent much time in preparing you. I would have you to be faithful and diligent unto me. Thou shalt nothing hinder thee. The Lord thy God is thy exceedingly great reward. The Lord thy God is thy comfort and thy consolation. The Lord thy God is thy provision in the hour of need. Thou have been separated from this world, saith the Lord, that thou mightest walk before me and bear my message unto the nations. The time is short, and my heart is filled with love for the peoples of the earth, and I am preparing thee that thou shalt go forth and help and be those who redeem and release and save by the power of thy living Christ. Thou art his hands and his feet, his sure voice. Therefore, thou art greatly loved of the Lord, and he has given unto thee a double portion
of His Word, of His Spirit, of His knowledge, not that thou shouldest sit alone and be poisoned by all that is within thee, but thou should become a well, a fountain, a cracked vessel through which the waters do flow out. And as they flow out and thou hast been in our fence, saith the Lord, surely the Lord Jesus is at hand to renew and renew and renew. And thou shalt be full of living water. Do not fear. I know thy weaknesses. I know thy shortcomings. I know thy worries and thy problems. None of those are any problem to me, saith the Lord. If thou would just be simply obedient and walk in joy and be and work righteousness in joy and do what God has set before thee with joy, then will the Lord joy and rejoice over thee. And thou may go forth with weeping, bearing precious seed. But as I live, saith the Lord, and as I am true and faithful, saith the Lord, thou shalt come again rejoicing, bearing precious fruit and sheaves to lay before the Lord. And thine heart shall be broken. It shall be broken, but it shall be enlarged. And into it will come many people who today are not within the ark of safety, but they shall come into the ark within thine heart. And thou shalt grow and shall become as Abraham, a father of many nations. O great shall be thy fruitfulness, for the Lord hath ordained thee to mighty fruit. O, be not slack, be not slack, but let thy attention be turned unto the Lord, that there shall not fail one good thing that the Lord hath in mind for each one of thee, my people. Hallelujah. Abaraka Hasilia. Abaraka Hasilia. Let's give worship unto Him. God is so good, saints. So good, so good, so good, so good. To call us out, to call us out that we might bear witness. Hallelujah, of the truth of God. So many, so many. All broken heart, Lord, grant it, Lord, that there may be room, that there may be room for other people, Lord. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And now, Lord, let thy sure peace in thy word and thy will be with each one. Keep our hearts stayed upon Thee. Remember us tonight, Lord, as we prepare to hear from a country which recently, Lord, has been very, very terribly devastated, that we might be in a proper frame of mind to give, to pray, to enter in, Lord, to the great things You're doing. We'll be careful to love You and serve You, Lord, that You ever saw fit to put Your hand on us and call us out. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Lord bless. 6 o'clock tonight.